So I would like to invite everyone to close their bulletins so that you can't see the story we just read. Now, this story is one of the most popular Jesus stories. Like, we all know how he was born. We all know about his death and his resurrection. And then when we start talking about his life, the feeding of the 5,000, that one comes up first. So I'm going to invite us to retell that story right now together from memory. So someone, what happened first in this story? How does this story get started? Jesus crosses to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Great. Who's waiting for him there? Well, 5,000 people. Yeah, a huge crowd of people. Awesome. What happens next? Someone loud.
He preaches.
Okay, he preaches. He preaches. He's Jesus. He's probably preaching for a long time. So what happens after they've been sitting there hearing a really long sermon? They're hungry. Great. So they're hungry. So what happens next? Someone over here. He has them sit down. Perfect. What next? Over here. He finds if anybody has some food. Does anybody have some food? Yeah, a little boy has some food. What does he have?
Fish and bread.
Perfect. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What happens next? The disciples say, not enough. Not going to be enough. And Jesus says, it's going to be all right. Okay, so he says, stop worrying so much, disciples. Let me get to work. And what happens? They pass around the food and there's enough. Yes, yes. I love this story. So I've heard this story probably hundreds of times, or at least 100 times. Anytime somebody asks me to tell a Bible story, which as a pastor happens surprisingly a lot, that's the story that I tell. I've heard it since I was a child. And I have to tell you, it wasn't until this week when I was thinking about this story and I went back and read the text that I noticed it was a boy who had the fish and the bread. I've always skipped over that detail right to the disciples worrying about, is this going to be enough? And something that I've learned in reading the Bible is that when there is a detail, a specific detail that's mentioned, we're supposed to pay attention. There are hundreds of people in the Bible who we never learn their names. We never learn their age or where they're from, or what their hobbies are. So whenever we get those little details, we're supposed to pay attention because it means something. So once I read that and it jumped out of me, I was like, why haven't I ever heard this before? I heard the story in a new light. So there is this little boy and he has 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 fish. And the disciples are starting to worry how they're going to feed this huge crowd. And they see this boy with his bread and his fish, and they say, that's nice, but what he has isn't enough. And Jesus says, oh yeah, what that kid has over there is plenty. In fact, I think it's enough to feed this whole crowd. And that's exactly what happens. So now when I hear this story, I'm going to be reminded that we need to pay attention to what our young people have to offer us. And that when we hold that up in God's light and before Jesus, those gifts are more than enough. Those gifts can transform perceptions, and they can feed people and care for people and do ministry. And I think that's part of the miracle of this story. It's not a story about grown-ups figuring it out. It's a story about recognizing the young people in our midst and what they have to offer to the rest of the crowds. Now, I especially love this story. This story is about to become my new favorite holiday story because I see a lot of times in the holiday season, there is this tension between being a grown-up and what we want the holidays to look like and being a kid and knowing what the holidays look like. Like when I was a kid, and I'm still kind of a big kid at heart, so my house still looks like this if you ever drive by, I knew that the holidays was about joy, like unbridled joy leaking everywhere into every corner of the house. And it was about love because I loved getting together with my family. I loved that there were special concerts and opportunities to spend time with my friends outside of our normal school day. I loved getting together and doing just silly things, but fun things. And it's about hope for what we have to offer one another, hope for a new year ahead. And I was really grounded in that. And in my family, the holidays for the adults were what I talked about at the beginning, that perfectionism. They were sort of girding themselves like, okay, my sisters are going to be coming over. We haven't talked since the last big holiday. How's it going to go? And there was some stress in there. And me and my brother were like, come on, let's just have fun. And my parents were like, no, there's not enough time to have fun. So I'm remembering that and asking us to honor that this holiday. So I do have a holiday memory that I want to share, but it's not an Advent or a Christmas holiday. It's an Easter memory. So when I was about 9 or 10, I told my mom, I said, I would like to help with our Easter dinner. And she said, okay, why don't you do an appetizer? And I said, no, there's going to be plenty of appetizers. She said, you make a great salad. How about you're in charge of the salad? I said, no. Now that year, Easter, we were hosting for our whole family. We rotated amongst the family, which meant my mom's three sisters and her three brothers at the time and her parents would all be coming and descending. And in our family, that was a big deal, you know, to get it right. And my mom said, really? No, not the appetizers or the salad. I said, what if I'm in charge of dessert? And she said, I don't know about that. That's a really important part of the meal. I said, no, I'll figure it out. So I pulled out all of our cookbooks and started looking through them. And then I put away all the cookbooks that didn't have any cool pictures. And I was flipping through them and I found this cookbook that had an Easter bunny cake. And it was the coolest cake I had ever seen. It was in the shape of a bunny face, and it had coconut fur, and it had black licorice whiskers, and it had a jelly bean bow tie. And I showed it to my mom, and I said, I am going to make this cake. And my family is not really cake people. Like, they really like tarts and things you can set on fire and then eat. But cake, like, we're not big cake people. My mom said, that seems like a lot of work for you to do. And I said, I got it. It'll be great. She said, what if we do that, but we also do like a backup dessert, like a flourless chocolate tart. And I said, that sounds so boring. No. This is going to be our dessert. It'll be a showstopper, I promise. And my mom said, okay, I trust you. So I worked so hard on that cake. I started on Friday. Everyone was coming over on Sunday. I baked it myself from scratch, no boxes involved. And I cut out the bunny-shaped ears, and I placed them on. And I decorated it with the coconut fur and the black licorice whiskers and the jelly bean bow tie. And by Sunday afternoon, it was perfect. Now, by perfect, I mean that the coconut fur looked a little worn and patchy. And the black licorice whiskers looked more like a black licorice bunny beard. And the jelly bean bow tie was a little crooked. But I love that cake. And when my mom's siblings all came over, and they took a look at it, and they said, "Oh, that's our dessert for today? Okay, all right." My mom said, "Yeah, and Liz made it all by herself, and I couldn't be more proud." And when it came time for dessert, she served the biggest pieces of that bunny cake to all of her siblings and her parents. And she really, like, just did me, filled me up with trust in myself and belief that I could contribute and make a difference, and belief that she loved me enough to trust me on that very sacred holiday tradition. And that has stayed with me. That is probably one of my only Easter memories growing up, was that experience with my mom and her trusting me enough to do something big. So I want to invite us this holiday season. All of us have children in our lives. If we're sitting here in the sanctuary, we've already seen evidence of that, of the gifts of our youth this morning. We have kids and youth and young adults in our midst. So I want to invite us to say, how can we support them? How can we listen to them and their gifts this holiday season? And if you are a young person, if you're a kid or a youth or a young adult, I'd invite you to think about, what gifts can I bring? What do I have to share with the people around me this holiday season? What difference can I make in my family, in my school, or in my church? How can I be there and be present? So that is the story of the feeding of the 5,000, which is really a story about a little boy and how his gifts were used by Jesus. So thank you all for listening.